Episode 270, it's time for creatives to take center stage.
It's the David Trigg Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome back to the David Trigg Show, the Trigg Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this 4th of July. Happy 4th of July to everyone here in the U.S., all of my friends. Truly, this is a great day, and obviously, we all talk about freedom. But I'm not really going to talk about freedom as a country, which I'm thankful for. I'm not even going to talk about freedom as a follower of Jesus, which I'm also thankful for. I'm actually going to talk about freedom as a creative. Freedom as a creative person. And so basically, here's what I've been thinking about. For some reason, I think that creative people have always gotten a bad rap in the church, in society, in the culture at large. If you think about your opinions on creatives, it seems that these days, creatives are either people like rappers or rock stars that are always getting into trouble or into drugs or into partying, or they are basically poor people that are irrelevant to most of society. And unfortunately, it seems like the left brain of our existence tends to win out in most things. For example, in politics, it's all about who's right. In finance, it's all about, you know, can we afford things? In, obviously, in religion, it's all about doing the right thing or about paying your bills. It seems like the creative spirit is often struggling, and this is part of my story, to stay relevant, to stay alive, to be true to themselves. I was talking to a young friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling him, never stop creating. And I always go back to, I was telling him this also, to Genesis 1, where it says, in the beginning, God did his budget. In the beginning, God took care of healthcare for everyone. In the beginning, God built a very well-built house. No, it says there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I love that because to me, being a creative is about being a man or a woman of God. It really is about being in tune with the best version of yourself. And I think that when we're not creative, when we allow left brain concerns and what, how am I going to pay the bills? And is this going to make me happy or make me successful? Then we are going against the very nature of God, the very nature of being a creative. And I don't know exactly how to resolve these problems. I think these problems are very real and very concerning to most of us because they really hinder our progress. Now, the irony of creativity is that everyone loves music. Everyone loves creative people, but not as people that necessarily rule the world. Would you want Kanye West to be president of our country? And yet look at what's happened in the White House. Why shouldn't we have, I'm not advocating Kanye, why shouldn't we have a different kind of personality type in the White House? Or as the head of finance? Or as the head of the National Bank? Why do we keep voting in men and women who are basically linear left brain people? Nothing against those people. We need each other. And in the body of Christ, obviously, we need to work as one. But definitely, it's one of those things that I've been thinking about a lot. Now, before I get into more of this, I actually was looking up here the word for creating. You know, in the beginning, God... Oops, I just dropped something there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the Hebrew, in the original language, the word create is actually the word bara. Bara. And it's a Hebrew word, so it sounds very different to English, obviously. And it means to shape, to fashion. It means to create. It means to birth something new. And so what a beautiful word. What a beautiful concept of what God did. It says that God in the beginning, he shaped, he fashioned, he created, he made into existence, he chose. Even one of the translations here, it says that he chose, he made the heavens and the earth. And so what a beautiful idea that God, creator God, that his first act in Genesis 1 was to be a creative. How do we allow creatives to be in power? How do we allow CEOs or leaders or executive directors who are creatives to do their thing? Because I believe that creatives, and I speak from experience, we, as I said, we don't get the kind of accolades or the kind of appreciation that the left brain leaders do. And I think that's a detriment to our society, because we have tried all of the non-creative ways at fixing things, at fixing everything, and look at where it's gotten us. Maybe it's time to let creatives lead the way and to not be afraid of what creatives may do. I mean, look at what non-creatives have done. They've created a world that is black and white, that is gray, that is a big divisive fight. And all the rest of us who are the empaths, the healers, the creatives, the entrepreneurs, we continue to just simply be kind of patted on the head as kind of a sitting on the kiddie table at Thanksgiving dinner. Now, what are some of the ways that we as creatives, and I assume and I am pretty sure that most of the people that listen to my podcast, we are creatives. And so you identify with the creative life and the creative journey. So what are some of the ways that we as creatives can take control of our environments, of our homes, of our places of influence, of our families? Well, I think one of them is to be in community with each other. I think that maybe the biggest hindrance that I have found in being a creative is that I don't really like to share. I don't really like to be with others. And let me not say it as a like. It's not that I am somehow against other people or against collaboration. What I'm really saying is that to be creative, you have to focus on your own thoughts. If you're not a creative, you may not understand this, but to be a creative, it means that you eventually have to lock yourself in a room, lock yourself in a closet, and figure it out like a mad scientist. You have to work out that thing that you're putting out to the world. And so community or collaboration is innately not preferred by most creatives. Now, there are those, of course, extrovert creatives. There's maybe, 2% of them? Maybe 1%. Most creatives are introverts, like I am. I'm an INFJ. And so we don't do well with people, but what we do well with is expressing and telling the world and sharing. We are the most sharing and giving people in the world, in the planet. As compared to our non-creative brothers and sisters, who are mostly selfish and who want to mostly keep their knowledge to themselves. And so now, before I keep going, let me give you some of the stats that I've been researching a bit with regards to creatives versus non-creatives. About 60 to 70% of society are non-creatives, maybe as high as 80%, kind of the 80-20 rule. So you see why us as creatives have a uphill battle. We really have to fight and come together in order for us to be heard. And not be heard as in the weird yoga class that happens at the beach or the really funky alt left or alt right kind of a funny group that meets on Friday nights to read books and contemplate life. I'm tired of that. That's not what we want. We want acceptance and control. We want influence. And so, because we really believe as creatives that we have the answers to the problems of this life in the medical field, fitness, nutrition, the church for sure, education, healthcare, politics, you name it. The military stuff, all this stuff with guns, there's no doubt. Now, let me take it, before I go back to my list of kind of what we can do, let me say one more thing. The creative gene is very feminine or female. It's the female part of the earth or of God. I mean, that offends some people. I'm not talking about God as female or male, but I'm talking about the energy of creativity and of life-giving. Just think biologically. It's obviously what? It's female. Females, biologically and in their beautiful uniqueness, are the life givers, right? Men are the hunters, and women are the ones that create. And so you could say that the creative energy of God or of humanity is female. Or you could maybe call it empathic, or it's compassionate. And let me just say that I have a master's degree in leadership, and this is not just some weird thing that we're talking about here. Leadership books are literally being written as we speak on this very issue, on the need for the female or the empathic sensibilities to lead the world. I don't think it's ever happened. Maybe since the beginning of time. Because again, as I said, mostly we have been dominated by males who are mostly, for the most part, not all, not me and not many other males, or not some males, mostly left brain, non-empathic individuals. And it's gotten us nowhere. In fact, I believe it's destroying our world and our society as we know it. So what can we do? So number one is come together. Number two is to create. I mean, that sounds really simple, but when you as a creative feel disregarded, or you feel strange, or you can't, I don't know, there's no room for you at the inn, it's easy to give up on your creativity. It's happened to me. It happens to every person that I know that's a creative. We end up giving up. We as creatives are very sensitive. And so when we can't make a living through our creativity, we tend to want to quit. When we take time to actually come up with, quote, the answer, people get mad. And so we want to quit, or we want to just go and be alone again. The very art of being a performer. I mean, I always think of Prince, Michael Jackson, all these amazing artists, Bruno Mars, Rob Bell as a speaker, any of these creatives, when they speak, they are being vulnerable. And when was the last time that you felt comfortable being vulnerable? That's why most non-creatives can't stand vulnerability. They're uncomfortable with their own vulnerability, much less that of others. And in fact, I think that most people judge the vulnerability of creatives, because they see it as weakness, or as something is wrong, or there's some sort of hole in your character or in your spirit. So that's why I think that number two, we as creatives have to create. Number three, I think that we have to figure out our money and our finances. Because creativity isn't a quick fix. It's not a balance sheet. It's not selling a house. It's not real estate. Creativity is going to take time. It might take you a lifetime to figure out your creativity. And all the stories, I was listening to an interview with Will.i.am. You know, these guys that are, quote, only in their 40s and are already into their second life. And now, you know, I think he's a philanthropist, and he's teaching people how to code, I believe is what he's doing, computer coding, which I think is genius, and AI and virtual reality and augmented reality. which I think is amazing for a quote musician to be into the sciences. I mean, duh, like all of us musicians and artists are into the sciences. Yes, we are geniuses at the very core. But not all of us have the success at 40, have had the success to be making millions, I assume, such as Will.i.am, and then can just kind of turn that corner and begin to create nonprofits. I mean, most of us creatives, we start and die and finish with a nonprofit. We never make a business out of our creativity, unless you're one of those unique individuals. Sting comes to mind, and some of the other people I mentioned, and of course, rappers, and I don't consider athletes creatives, but you know, I guess you could. But I would say for the most part, when it comes to creatives, we think of music and maybe architecture. We think of, obviously, there's a million things, dancers, and of course, painters, and yes, poets, and all the rest. So, but I'm just talking about the ones that we tend to admire the most. And I think it's unfortunate, but just kind of going off of common wisdom here. So number three, you have to figure out your expenses. And so for most of us, we have to have a regular job, a 9-to-5, that pays our bills, that we work hard at, that we many times have to do things that are not natural to us because the quote real world isn't creative, isn't empathic, isn't compassionate or collaborative. And so we have to constantly go 10 times as hard in those environments and then come home after a big long nap and exhaustion, etc. Then at night, try to create and be true to yourself. And so you have to figure out how to pay your bills so that you can create, because I think the idea of paying your bills through your music is nonsense. You have to just realize that creativity is a long-term plan. We're talking about 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 years. Number four is we have to keep speaking up. We can't just simply create. One of the gifts that we as creatives have is that we are very articulate. Some through spoken word, some through writing, others through music, dance, sculpture, blogging, podcasting, videos, you name it. I think that we as creatives have to talk on the business of creativity. And by business, I don't mean money, but I mean the tensions that we as creatives deal with in the boardroom, at the in Wall Street, in the family dynamics, in the church. And we have to speak up about our values. And so one of the things that I am trying to do more and more of is to write down the things that I believe in. And instead of trying to be, what's that guy's name? Jim Collins, I think his name is, from Good to Great, and trying to be linear. And because in my degree, I did read a ton of linear leadership methods. Instead of trying to be like those people, you really have to read the creative type of leaders. And there are some out there, not a lot, mostly females, mostly in other countries. So just to break it to you, the US of A is mostly male dominated and mostly linear dominated. And even females that are in leadership, they mostly have to adapt to male sensitivities, meaning control, power, domination. And so if you're a woman, you are identifying, is my guess, with a ton of what I'm saying, because if you're not a left brain control kind of female, you're going to struggle in most leadership situations. And so we have to communicate. We have to talk about this and to be heard through all of these different mediums. And then number five, I would say the last thing is we have to bring, this may sound funny, but we have to bring religion and the arts together once again. I am not a big historian. I read history, and in seminary, we read a ton of stuff on, of course, the church and the arts. So there may be other people that know a lot more than me on this. But one thing I know is that, for example, Bach, of course, was the church organist. And Isaac Newton and John Wesley and some of these heroes of the faith were musicians. I don't think Mozart was a Christian. I mean, he did write. Most of these guys had to write for the Catholic Church back in Italy, etc., or in Europe. But I do think that some of these men, mostly men, were in the faith, were in the church at least. I don't know about their personal relationship with God, but at least they worked and made a living in the church. Well, obviously that has ended. If you haven't noticed, musicians and artists are not the leaders of most churches. That trend, at times it feels like it's changing. I myself, I'm a musician through and through, and I have been always a leader in the church. But it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle to be heard. It's been a struggle to be myself in the church. And so I think that we have to lead in the church. And to how? Well, it can't just be in the worship team. I think we have to create new vehicles and environments. We have to lead through ways that people understand. So one of the things that I'm doing these days is beginning the ground, laying down the groundwork of creating a space, a physical room or rooms, where creatives would come together to do these very things that we're talking about, to create podcasts, music, to figure out the finances of it, to figure out how to get other jobs that are not related to your art, to counsel on things like mental health and relationships and love and the loneliness and social media and stuff. All of the things that a young person or a man like me deal with as far as being a creative in the church. I think we have to create new vehicles. It can't just be you and me trying to change the old systems. Until the old systems die, which I hope they will die in the next 10 to 20 years, we as creatives will have to keep creating alternative environments and prove to ourselves and prove to the world, and this is where it gets hard because it goes against our very nature. We're not out to prove anything. We're out to make life beautiful. But in the meantime that we take over the earth, we will have to create spaces that are that are front and center. I want you to hear me on this. Not on Friday night at a cafe, not a book club on Tuesday mornings. That's been done and hasn't done a thing except for those of us in those groups. But it hasn't really changed the mainstream of power. So we have to take the power back. And I think that some rappers, I was listening to, what's his name, J. Cole. I'm just beginning to get into him. What a great voice, not just of rapper. And if you don't, you know, he's not clean. So, I mean, there's language there. And I ignore that. It doesn't bother me. I always look, especially for creatives, for the message and the essence of who these people are. And this guy, he seems maybe in his 20s, maybe 30s at the most. He talks about racial issues and about issues of society. And that's the way it should be. U2, of course, back in the 80s and 90s, they were very important into the civil rights movement and speaking against racism and prejudice and war and standing for social values and even apartheid. I mean, they were, of course, against that. And so they were a part of, what was that group called? Greenspan? I don't know. So musicians, but I mean, do I think that Drake stands for that right now? Or Kanye? No, these guys don't stand for anything. Does Britney Spears or Beyonce stand for anything of value? Of course not. And so you can see that much of this message has been lost in musicians. And so I think we have to stand for something in the mainstream, on Sunday morning, in the middle of your board meeting, in the middle of your family dinner with your friends on social media. We have to stand for what we believe in politically, in health and sciences, when it comes to space and electric cars and the solar panels and all that deals with society as we know it, veganism and how we eat and how we live and how much money we spend, especially here in the U.S., where, as I said, this is not the norm. We do see more of this type of thinking in the South, as well as I said, among females and artists, etc. But I think it's time for us to bring this kind of thinking to the mainstream. As I said, I have read so many books. I'm so encouraged by my program at Fuller that makes us, or whatever, encourages us to read books by creative, empathic authors on leadership, not just on how to write a song or a great hook, but how to actually lead ourselves and others well from that artistic temperament. Now, does your artistic temperament have issues? Well, no more issues than we see in the left brain people that are in power and that have been in power for the last 500 years. Of course we have issues. But I do believe that we need to lead the way, and we need to do it soon, so that there is hopefully a revival of the arts, not only at Burning Man or at Coachella or at some meeting like that, but in the mainstream. In the mainstream, that is where I want to see creativity, entrepreneurship, financial wisdom. I want to see creativity, empathic values, female values take center stage, because it's time, and what we've been doing so far hasn't been working. So my commitment, how do I apply this to me? Well, my commitment is basically the things that I've been saying, is to create. So even doing these podcasts, just kind of doing them from the things that I really believe in, is my way to be counted and to take part, take action. Number two is music. I need to create music. I can't just simply be putting together Excel sheets and evaluating employees. I need to be creating. And then third, I believe that I have to be, once again, as I mentioned in a previous episode, a man of the spiritual aspect of life. Not as in sinless or as in perfect. I don't mean that by spirit. But I mean, because unfortunately we reduce the spiritual life to not sinning. It's just so terrible. The spiritual life, though, is one of kindness and one of joy and one of hope and peace and love, as Galatians 5:22 says. And so I am re-amping or recommitting myself to not necessarily creating. What I mean to say is, this is not a productivity commitment. This is more of a being commitment that I'm making. I am committing to you, to myself, to God, mostly to myself, to spend time with God, spend time with my source of my creativity. Because maybe the last thing I'll say is, for the creative, be sure that you are investing in your creativity and find out what that is. What makes you shine as a creative? What makes you pop? What makes you come alive? For me, it's God's word. When I'm praying and I'm reading those beautiful words from that incredible sacred text, it just changes me. And then from there comes everything else. So ask yourself, my dear creative type, empathic, female or male, how can you take action this summer? Let's join together. Let's create new vehicles in order to impact the mainstream, to be center stage, and to bring about this revolution of the arts and of the empathic types, of the introverts, and of those of us who think deeply about issues that matter to you, to me, that matter to all of us. And let's move away from division and hate and violence and conflict and rules that are only trying to divide us. And instead, let's lead from the heart. Let's create. Let's come together. And I think that we will be blessed if we do. As always, thank you for listening. If you would like to interact with this topic, please go to my website, davidtrigg.com/coaching, davidtrigg.com/coaching, where we can talk further, hopefully this summer, about this issue of creativity and leadership. Thanks again, everybody. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.